This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series on prayer. And the title of the series is The Power of Prayer. Amen? And we discovered last week that you need to be praying to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. You don't pray to saints. Amen? We don't pray to Mary. Amen? We pray to the Heavenly Father. I think the Heavenly Father has more pull than Mary. Amen? Glory to God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Now, we are focusing the rest of my series on the Lord's Prayer. How many people know the Lord's Prayer by heart? Amen? Some of you do. Amen? And I love the Lord's Prayer. And it's not bad to pray it verbatim, but I believe that you can actually break down this prayer and you can set up your prayer time in breaking down the prayer. And we're going to look at it this morning. And let's just go to this prayer. In Luke 11:1-4, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place." This is talking about Jesus. Jesus was praying in a certain place. "When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' And John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" I love that God is not just our judge. He's our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. He is judge, but he's judge to the world, but he's Heavenly Father to the saints. Amen. And so I don't even like, sometimes I say, let's worship God, but I like really saying, let's worship the Heavenly Father, because it makes it more personable. Amen. You want your prayer life to be personable. You don't want it to be where it's like, you know, like you don't know God. Amen. And so I love this. And it says here, so he said to them, "When you pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I like, you know, another where he talks about praying, "Thou is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." So you started off with praise and you end with praise. Amen? Amen. So I love that. So we're talking about prayer. And we discovered last week praising God. We start off in prayer by praising God before we start asking God for things. Amen. I think that's really important to do. And we know this, that praising God does two things. When you praise God, this is powerful, write this down. When you praise God, it opens God's heart to do miracles for you. I'm going somewhere this morning. When you're praising God, it actually opens God's heart to do miracles on your behalf. But also, when you're praising God, it opens your heart, amen, for the bigness of God to overcome any problem you might be dealing with. Because in prayer, we have to have, you know, no fear. We can't pray fear-filled prayers. We have to be praying faith-filled prayers for our prayers to work. A scared prayer won't work too well. Amen? And so I love this, and we know this, and you know this story of Paul and Silas. They were preaching the gospel, and the Pharisees threw them in prison. And so they were in prison at midnight, and they were beat, and they were in stocks. They were in chains. And let's look at Acts 16:25, talking about praising God and God working miracles in our praise. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Wow. You know, that's amazing. You know, the Bible says that when we encounter problems, we need to be praising God. Amen. Count it all joy when you encounter troubles. Amen. Count it all joy. Why? Because God can get you out of your troubles. God can, so you start praising God because God is bigger than the devil. Amen. I'm going to say that again. God is bigger than your problems. Amen. You got to believe that today. And so it said at midnight, and midnight is the darkest hour of the night. And that's when we should be praising God at the darkest hour of our night. Now, I think we should be praising God before we get to the darkest hour. Amen. 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 We need to praise God before we get there so we don't get there. Sometimes people wait until they have to praise God. I don't want to have to praise God. We get to praise God. Amen. Amen. And notice this. It said they praised God and the prisoners were listening to them. So they were loud in their praise. And I'm going to say this. You got to get loud. Amen. You got to get loud in your praise. And you need to start letting the devil know you're not worried about what's happening in your life. Amen. You're not worried about what he's trying to do in your life. Amen. You need to praise loud. Shout those walls down. Amen. And so the prisoners were listening to them. Amen. And they were probably baffled. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Powerful. So praise will bring the suddenlies of God in our lives. Amen? So praise opens God's heart to do miracles for us. Praise opens our hearts to the bigness of God in the negative circumstances of life. Praising God produces confidence and boldness in a believer's life. Amen? And these are two key ingredients we learned last week that we need operating when we enter the prayer room of God. We need confidence and we need boldness. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love this because when we have confidence and boldness in God, we get answered prayers. Amen. It's the people that are wishing and hoping and a maybe God will come through. I hope you come through sometime, Lord. Amen. No, God always comes through a prayer of faith. Glory, hallelujah. Say, I'm a believing believer. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You got to believe. Amen. And I love this. Praise God. Man, I'm getting fired up here. In 1 John 5:14, it says, now this is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Somebody say, I know. I know. Amen. And so if you're in Jesus, if you're a born again believer, God hears your prayers. He may not hear the prayers of the unrighteous, but he does hear the prayers of the righteous. Amen. Glory to God. Now today I want to focus on the Lord's Prayer. And this part right here in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know it's pretty good in heaven? Do you know there's no problems in heaven? There's no devils in heaven. You know, you don't even have to mow the grass in heaven. I was thinking, I got to mow my grass. I got to get that first cut in. And my yard is looking like it's the eyesore in the community. Everybody else has cut their grass. So I'm thinking about cutting it today. Amen. But in heaven, the grass is perfect. Amen. Glory to God. And so it says here that we want the kingdom of God to come fully. And I like to pray this prayer that the kingdom of God will come fully in our lives. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's rule and his authority. That's what the kingdom of God is. His rule and authority. It's how he rules the heavenlies. Glory to God. Now, let's look at a scripture that reveals the kingdom of God. In Psalms 89:14-16, let's read this. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. This is the result of the kingdom. joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. And in your name, they rejoice all day long. That's talking about us, isn't it? We rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness, they are exalted. Think about that. This is a powerful song, I believe, describes God's kingdom. We see righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth are key pillars of the kingdom of God. When we pray God's kingdom come, we essentially are praying that God's righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth will come fully in this earth and into our families' lives. Amen? When we get that revelation of God's kingdom of righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth operating in our lives, it should bring to us peace and joy. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at another scripture that talks about the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I love that. So we see the Apostle Paul is saying the kingdom of God is not just eating or drinking. And sometimes people think that's awesome to do. And we all like to eat and drink, glory to God. But it's righteousness. The foundation of God's kingdom is righteousness. And then that produces peace and joy in our lives. When we pray God's kingdom, we are praying that God's kingdom of righteousness will come as a result of his kingdom of righteousness coming fully in our lives. It should produce that God's peace and joy. So God's kingdom come will bring us that peace and joy that I believe that we can walk in as we get a revelation of the kingdom of God. Amen? And the kingdom of God really is central. When you pray Jesus come, you're really saying, when you're praying, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, you're praying Jesus to come in this earth realm. Because, you know, in essence, the kingdom of God is represented by the person of Jesus. Think about this. The kingdom of God is represented by the person of Jesus. Jesus is everything. He's the centerpiece of everything that God is doing. Amen. Jesus, in other words, the kingdom of God is righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Amen. Amen. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who made him no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen. So I love that. So Jesus became sin so that we can become righteous, so we can have right standing with God. Jesus paid the price for God's justice. You know, the kingdom is righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth. And Jesus paid the price for God's justice on the cross. Amen. God is a just God. And every sin has to be paid for. You're either going to receive Jesus as your sin payment, or you're going to have to pay for your sin in hell if you reject Jesus. I'll take Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm not that good. Amen. I don't do enough good things. I'm not that good. I'm not going to go on my account. Because if I went on my account, I'd be splitting hell wide open. But I'm not going to go on my account. I'm going to go on Jesus' account. I'm going to get to heaven by Jesus. He said, what makes you think you should come in? By the blood of Jesus. I'm putting my faith in him, not myself. Amen. And so Jesus paid the price for God's justice. In 1 John 2:2, it says in New Living Translation, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. Amen. So Jesus is the sin sacrifice. Amen. Amen. That took care of God's justice. Amen. 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 That's the reason why God can be good to us. Amen. God can be good. We don't deserve God's goodness. But because of Jesus, we get God's goodness because of Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? Not because of how good we are, but it's how good he is. Amen. And Jesus is God's mercy to mankind. Righteousness, justice, and mercy. In Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God had mercy when we were doing dumb things down here. Amen. When we were living our lives apart from God, God still had mercy on our lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? And God was still watching over us. God was keeping us in our sinful state until we got into the righteous state. Amen. Some of you used to do a lot of things you don't want to talk about. Amen. You came out of the world. You were in the clubs. You were doing all kinds of things. And now you're in church. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So you receive God's mercy. And then Jesus is truth. We're talking about foundational truths of the kingdom. Righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth. These are foundational truths of the kingdom. Amen. And Jesus is truth. Can I get a witness in the house today? He doesn't just point to the truth. He is truth. You look at Jesus, He is truth. Amen. He is the Word of God made flesh, and the Word of God is true in all its form. And it says here in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one come to the Father except through me. So Jesus said, I am the truth. Glory to God. Jesus' kingdom operates fully on us, He operates fully when His kingdom is working and we get a revelation of His kingdom. And then when we get that revelation of His kingdom, then we'll have that peace and that joy that Paul talks about. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at another scripture that reveals that the kingdom is on Jesus' shoulders. Glory to God. This is a Christmas scripture right here. And it's in Isaiah 9:6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And notice this, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I love that. And these are the names of Jesus. Amen. But I want to focus on the Prince of Peace. So when we understand that the kingdom is held on his shoulders, the government is held on his shoulders, that peace of God that surpasses all understanding should be guarding our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I love that. And the kingdom also is joy. And we should be walking in the peace and the joy of our Lord. Jesus said it this way in John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I love that. So when when we're praying, God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is heaven, we're actually praying God's peace and His joy to come into our lives. Amen. That's the byproduct of the kingdom. So let me say this. God's kingdom has come through Jesus Christ already in one sense. It has already come in one sense, but in another sense, we're waiting on the fullness of the kingdom of God to come in this life. Amen. Because the kingdom is not set yet. Jesus hasn't come back yet. There's still devils out here that we're dealing with. There's still a bunch of unsaved people out here that need to get saved. So when we're praying God's kingdom, we're praying that another way when we're praying God's kingdom, we're praying Jesus to come back. They used to say in the old church, Maranatha, which means Lord, come quickly. And so it's good when you're praying God's kingdom come, you're also praying not only His righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth, but you're actually praying Jesus, come back. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want Jesus coming back. I'm looking forward to the return of Jesus. Amen. We should be looking for His return. You should be excited about Jesus coming back. Of course, I talked to Christina about that one time. She says she wants to grow up and get married. Amen. So she's okay if Jesus waits for a little while. Amen. But those that have lived their lives, you know, we're ready, aren't we? We've been through it all. And we want Jesus coming back. Say, Jesus, come back quickly. Jesus, Now let's focus on the, that was almost half good. Now let's focus on the next part of the scripture, amen? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what when we're praying God's will be done, we know that God's will, really his foremost and God's number one will, you ready for this, is for people to be saved. So when we're praying God's will be done, this is a time in our prayer life where we need to be praying for our family members that don't have Jesus in their lives. Amen. We need to be praying that God that for salvation for people. Amen. It's God's will. Can I make a statement this morning? It's God's will for everybody to be saved. Amen. I'm glad I got some amens on here. Amen. Some people think, oh, God, it's predestination. God predestines people to hell, predestines people to... No, he predestines people all to heaven. Glory to God. The Bible says it's not that God's not putting the names in the book, Lamb's Book of Life. It says that he's going to blot the names out. That means all the names are there. Okay. That's something to think about. That's something to think about. All the names are already there. He's just going to have to blot them out if they don't receive Jesus. Oh, boy, you're learning something this morning, aren't you? Amen. You're going to learn something this morning. Amen. Not something you haven't heard before. Amen. Let's look at this, because this scripture really tells us that it's God's will for everyone to be healed. I know you don't base one thought on just one scripture. You got for God so loved the world. I can give you a lot of scriptures. He loved the entire world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a scripture, too. That reveals that God wants everybody saved. But in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This is talking about him coming back. And some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Notice that word, not willing. This is talking about the will of God. It's saying that God is not willing for people to perish. Amen. You could say it this way, God's will is for all to come to repentance.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Can I get a witness in the house today? That's the reason why the first two letters in God is go. That's the reason why we need to be going to the ends of the earth, preaching the gospel. Amen? Go out to all the world and preach the gospel. That's why his two letters is go. Amen. We need to be going, amen, as often as we can. So to God, he wants all people to come to repentance to receive Jesus to be saved. So our part is to pray that God would move on people's hearts to get saved. Amen. I really believe this. I believe for people to be saved, you really got to have a few ingredients working. Amen. First of all, people that aren't saved, they're bound by the devil. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice this, it says that they're perishing because the little god of this world, Satan, has blinded their minds. Amen. So there's some important factors that we need to do in praying people into the kingdom of God. We need to pray for salvation to come into their lives, and we need to pray that they hear the message of the gospel. Amen. Let's look at a scripture I just read. But if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the god of this age has blinded. So the devil is blinding the minds of people that are not saved. We must use our authority in prayer to break the power of Satan off of people that are unsaved or walking in darkness. So you have the authority to break the power of Satan off of people's lives. Somebody say, I have the authority. You have the authority. And we see this because, you know, you might have maybe your children or maybe relatives are not acting right. Well, probably the devil's working on their case. And you have the authority. Say, I have the authority to break the power of the devil off their lives. And you can do it. Amen. Because once the power of the devil is broken off the lives, it can loose them to receive God's grace. Can I get a witness in the house today? And in Luke 10, 17 through 20, it says here, Jesus sent out his disciples to pray for the sick and to cast out devils. And the 70 returned with joy. When the power of God is working, it should bring joy in our lives. When we see the power of God working, and it says, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Notice that. He says, Lord, they came back with joy and saying, the demons are listening to us. Yes. Amen. And notice it said, they're subject to us in your name. They were using the name of Jesus, like I said last week. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Notice the disciples were able to break the power of Satan off of people in that name of Jesus. I submit to you, you can break the power of Satan off your unsaved relatives and friends by using the name of Jesus. This can open their heart to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. So let's look at a scripture that gives us the power, because I believe we have the power to bind and loose. Somebody say, I have the power. And see, what we're trying to do is get God to do it all. God, save them, do something, help them. But we got to do something. We need to take our authority in Christ, break the power of Satan, and then we got to do a few other things to see them get saved. Amen. Is that what we got to do? See, a lot of people just pray, God, do something. But God's given us the power to do something. Amen. And it says here in Matthew 18, 18, it says, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I believe this is saying we can bind the devil operations in people's lives and loose God to operate in people's lives. So we bind the devil and loose our angels. Can I get a witness in the house today? So we must use our authority to bind the operation of the devil in people's lives so they can be set free to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more scripture that reveals that we need to be binding the devil, amen, in people's lives. It's in Matthew 12, 29. And Jesus just cast out a devil, and they were saying that he was doing it by the power of the devil. And of course, he was saying a kingdom divided cannot stand. But in Matthew 12, 29, he says, or how can you enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless you first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? What is he saying? He's saying before you can take over a house, you must bind the strong man in the house. Before we can get people to move towards God, you got to bind that devil that's in their house. Can I get a win? I know this is pretty deep this morning. Yeah. Amen. This is going to another level in preaching. Amen. And so you can understand, you got the power. Yeah. You're wondering why people aren't changing and getting saved, because you're not breaking the power of the devil off their lives. And we need to break the power of the devil off of their lives. Amen. Praise God. Now, next we need to pray. If we're going to see them saved, we need to pray that laborers be sent to people that are unsaved. Now, you can be the laborer or somebody else. You might not be able to speak to them about the Lord. Amen. They may tune you out, but they may tune somebody else in. Amen. Then he said to his disciples, Matthew 9, 37, 38, we're talking about prayer this morning. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God's will is for everybody to be saved. And we're talking about praying prayers to get our families, members saved. And in Matthew 9, 37, he said this, because you got to break the devil off people, and then you got to have somebody preach the gospel. And then he said to his disciples in Matthew 9, 37, 38, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into the harvest. This is Jesus. This is in red. Jesus is saying what we need to be praying for. He's saying that we need to be praying that the laborers, now you might be a laborer, amen? You need to be witnessing and talking to Jesus, to other people, because other people are being prayed for by their loved ones that need you to talk to them to get them saved, amen? Yeah. So you might be the laborer. So if you're going to be the laborer, ask God for boldness, amen? So that you can talk about Christ without feeling intimidated, amen? You got to have some boldness to do that, amen? And when you start praying for boldness, God will give you boldness. Amen. And you'll be doing things, you'll be walking tight ropes you never thought you could, across Grand Canyons, amen? Amen? Glory to God, when you get that boldness of God in your life. For people to get saved, they need to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says it this way, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody say, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. Amen. That's just somebody proclaiming. The Bible says that we're all called to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. In other words, we're all called to be a witness. And if you're a witness, you're a preacher. Glory to God. Amen. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it was written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. So how many people like to have beautiful feet in here? Glory to God. How many people like beautiful feet? Amen. I'm not talking about getting, a pedicure, or what do they call it? Again, a French toenails, whatever they do, the French thing that the ladies do. And that's getting pretty feet, amen. But I'm telling you, you can have pretty feet by preaching, taking the gospel into the highways and the byways. The Bible says, bid them to come in to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So how do we pray for salvation? We break the power of the devil off of people, and we pray that laborers will be sent to them. Glory to God. And here's the bonus key. Are you ready for the bonus key this morning? I got to give you a bonus key for getting people saved. I believe that we need to pray that God will give people the gift of repentance. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. This is the bonus key here. Because people can't come to God unless God draws them. I'm going somewhere this morning. And the only way God may draw them is that because you have a relationship with God, and because you have such a good relationship with God, you say, God, this person's got to get saved. I love this person. I want them saved. They got to get saved. And so I'm believing you that you want them saved too. Amen. Amen. Because I believe that God saves people for other people's sakes. I'm going to say again, God saves people for mothers that are praying for their children. Because God's standing on the prayers of mothers that are praying. So people are getting saved because of mothers' prayers. Hey, I'm going somewhere. Praise God. Of father's prayers, glory to God. People are getting saved because people are getting on their knees and praying, and God's doing it for others because he loves us. Amen. And if he loves us, he loves those that you love. Amen. And so we're praying for the gift of repentance. Now in 2 Timothy, this is powerful. It says here, and a 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 26, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance, underline that, grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil that have taken captive by him to do his will. Notice that? So he's saying perhaps God would give them repentance to escape the devil's clutches. Amen. And so when I see this, so God has to grant somebody repentance, the gift of repentance, for them to come to him. You just can't. I was talking to one person about getting saved. He said, I'm just waiting until I get old. Amen. I'm gonna live my life for what I want. And I said, you might not have a chance when you get old because God may not want you at that point. In other words, God may want you now, but that grace, you know, will only go so far, and you keep going out, then God may not call you back. I'm telling you, there is a time frame on God's grace. He'll keep calling and calling, and you keep saying no and no. He may not call you again. Amen. That's when I pray, and those that are watching online, I give that altar call. When the Holy Spirit's drawing you, you better pray that prayer, glory to God, because he may not be drawing you the next time. Glory to God. Can I get a witness in the house today? I don't want to tempt and test my God. I don't want to tempt and test. I'll wait until I get old. Amen. I don't know. You might get in a car accident. You may not have time to wait until you get old. Amen. Your life is just a vapor. You're only here today and you may be gone tomorrow. So our life, tomorrow's not guaranteed for the unsaved person. Amen. For us, long life. For the unsaved person, I don't know. Amen. Can I get away? A lot of the unsaved people die early in life. In their 50s, they don't even live half their lives. So I believe you can ask the Father God for the gift of repentance. So how do we pray God's will for salvation? First, we bind the devil and his operations. Then we pray for laborers to be sent, preach the gospel. Then we pray that God will grant them repentance when they hear the gospel and that they will receive the kingdom. Amen. I love that. Now, another part of God's will on this earth that we can pray, that we can add to our prayer, is that we need to be praying for the unity of the body of Christ. Amen. Because the Bible says the kingdom divided cannot stand. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to divide families. He's trying to divide churches. He's trying to divide us. And we know this, that the commanded blessing is on unity. In Psalms 133, it says, behold, this is why we should be praying, because does the devil ever try to come in and wreck marriages? Yes. You better believe it. Does the devil ever come and try to wreck families? You better believe it. Why? He's trying to cause disunity. He's trying to cause division. He's trying to break up the devil hates family. God loves family. In Psalms 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So the commanded blessing is on unity. And we know in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about unity, the importance of unity. And he says in Ephesians 4:11-13, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is the key, till we all come to the unity of faith. Till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head in Christ. Notice he said in this exhortation, he's saying that till we are edified as a body and we all come to the unity. So I'm telling you, I know that under the Christian banner, there's many denominations. And there's many churches that think a lot of different ways about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we should all come into unity that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no one can go to the Father but through him. That should be the foundational truth. And we should focus on that foundational truth, regardless if we don't agree with everything in the Bible. We should be agreeing on that. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? So when we're praying of God's will to be done, and God's will is salvation for our loved ones, God's will is unity for the body, and God's will is unity that he brings you into oneness with himself. Amen. I pray that. I say, Lord, bring me into oneness with you. I want to be in oneness with the body and oneness with you. And I like this in John 17. This is the priestly prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross. He focuses on being one with the Father in these verses. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, John 17, 20 through 23, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that they may believe that you sent me, and that the glory which you gave me I have given them, and they may be one just as we are one, and I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Powerful words here. And so Jesus was one with the Father, and Jesus wants us being one with the Father. So when we're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying that God's will of salvation will come forth in this earth. We're praying for Jesus to come back. We're praying we're praying for people to come in to the kingdom of God and receive the mercy and the love of God. And we're praying for the unity of the body. And when we do that, we will see God move mightily in our families, in our friends, in the lives of people. We're going to be seeing people get saved, and they're going to be coming to Exceed Life Church to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close out with a scripture that I focused on in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you receive it this morning? I believe you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that you're working in our lives. And I thank you, Father God, that you desire all to be saved. And perhaps you are watching or listening and you never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, today is the day of salvation. I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord. If you're ready to do that, just pray this simple prayer with me and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Thank you for connecting with us. If you're here locally, come out to be a part of Exceed Life Church. We would love for you to be a part of our church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ and stay connected with us as we live stream every week at 10:30. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.